This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome in to Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. We will take you all the way up to 6:30. We've got a locked and loaded show, full crew on site. Darris, Ryan, Toby behind the scenes. We are G&D. What's up, Daniel?
Nobody's sick, but just today? Like, so far, it's days without illness, one. We put it on the counter.
I don't think we're at 100% collectively. There's some coughing and some hacking and some things happening.
Yeah, but that's now par for the course for the last 3 months.
I think this is about as good as it gets. You know when you talk to an athlete and they say, after the season starts, nobody's really 100%. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, like, I guess our season started.
The NFL season, by week 11, everyone's battered and bruised. I think feeling like crap kind of comes with the territory when you're a overweight fella over, you know, 25 years old. We got plenty of those on our crew. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I think this is about as good as it's going to get. I feel great. You feel great?
Relatively,
the
yeah.
The boys all pretending to feel great. Let's do this thing together.
Here we go. Radio show. Let's go.
Taking the people up to 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we need the old three-day weekend every now and then.
Every once in a while.
Recharge them batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the double whammy. I had a three-day weekend, and my kids and wife weren't there for like 48 hours of it.
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know when this happened, but I am now at a certain age, at a certain point of our family life, where when my wife and kids leave overnight, it just means you get an unimpeded opportunity to clean. That's all it is, really. Like, if my wife came home and the house wasn't really, really clean, she'd have been really upset. Because one time that happened where she mm-hmm. left, she was gone for like a day and a half. She went overnight, she came back, and I was expected to have just cleaned the whole house in that downtime while working a couple of shows. But, you know, there was no mention of the house being clean when she came back.
Right. I learned this one, too, yeah.
Don't expect it. Everything is spotless. Everything's got a place. You've swept and you've mopped and you've cleaned dishes and the house looks very good. There's going to be no mention of it. But had you not have done that, oh boy. But that's what the time now is. It's not like, oh, they're not here, I'll just log a bunch of Netflix shows. It's like, okay, let me start working on the kitchen.
Right. Oh man, I got a limited number of hours here.
Let me go out there toward the foyer and clean up all the snow gear still that's strewn all over the place.
So I learned that one. The wife and I were still, we weren't even engaged at this point, but we're living together in New York, our little tiny, you know, one-bedroom apartment. And she went away for work for 2 days, came back, and it wasn't even that the apartment was in disarray. I was basically like treading lightly, trying not to ruffle anything or move any. Bed was made, and I'm going, pretty good job. And within 5 minutes, like, she was doing that, like, sigh every step she took, sighing about this and exhaling, and I'm sort of like, seems like I might be the target of something. And next thing you know, like, 900 fights happened.
Yeah.
And you know whose fault it was? You're not going to believe this. Me. I did something or didn't do something I did do or shouldn't have done but wanted to do but didn't do but did but not with a good attitude. Whatever. I didn't use the right And it basically boiled down to, like, 2 days later of silent treatment and, like, barely brusking against folks, it's a, hey, what you should have done, and I didn't tell you this, so now we know for future, clean it better than I clean it. And when I come home from being away, it better be perfect. Oh, I didn't know that was an expectation. I do now, though.
What I actually thought about doing, because we have had someone sick in my house every day for like 3 weeks. We're just all taking turns.
Yeah.
And like when we go through everybody wears the house, someone else starts again. I thought about just calling somebody who's like a professional maid and saying, I need you to come in here and I need you to wear gloves and a mask and just scrub everything.
Disinfect it.
But the amount of cleaning you have to do to get to a point where you could even have a maid come is unbelievable.
Right.
I never felt like it would be productive yet. Like, even as my kids were getting home and the 3 days of cleaning had ended, I still felt like if a maid got here, they're still, like, just moving things around, the clean under things. I've never lived in a house where you have a cleaning service. I didn't, like, we didn't grow up that way. I've never been at that point of my professional life slash money and all that. I know that a lot of people do that, where they have cleaning people come in. And, like, that's one of those, I used to laugh and tell you this story where the, I almost called them the Commanders players, I'm sure. The Redskins players that I covered when I was on the beat would like call me over to the locker every now and then. It would be like Trent Williams and Brandon Banks was in on this a lot. But like it was different guys and they'd be like, hey, did you guys have a boat? And I'd be like, yeah, for a few years we actually did have a boat. They're like, you grew up with money. You know, the funny ones were like, did you have a refrigerator in your garage?
That's a good bet.
And I'm like, yeah, actually.
Yeah, actually we did.
Like,
yeah.
Did you have an island in your kitchen? I'm like, nope, we never had an island in my kitchen. Like, oh, and they're like dapping me up, you know? But like one of them is that I would say is if you grew up with a cleaning lady coming on a certain day, or as a grown up, if a cleaning lady comes to your house on a certain day, or cleaning guy, I guess.
Cleaning person.
You're probably doing okay financially. Right? We don't have that at my house. But the people that have that, they have to clean up on that day. I've seen this with my buddies.
Yeah. And your co-host does that. Every other Wednesday. It is the most stressful thing in the world that these foreign dignitaries, like the king and queen of a foreign nation, the ambassador, the royal court, presidents, elected officials, world leaders, the UN Security Council is on the way over.
But what I'm saying is I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Of course,
like,
I do.
You have to clean.
You
up
have to clean
for the
cleaners.
People.
You must clean better than you've ever cleaned before, so that the cleaners can do their job.
But.
It baffles me.
There's merit to it, though. Like, you can't have just, like, stuff laying around. That's not what they do. They scrub the things. And if you just have a messy sink, you need to move all the stuff off the sink so that they can clean the sink.
Now, it seems as if you and my wife have been in cahoots and texted each other on this very subject. I'm not saying I'm going to leave a stack of dirty dishes, which I've never done once in my life. I'm not saying I'm going to like purposely going, oh, the cleaning ladies are coming. Let me spike my laundry in various weird places in the house and play hide a sock here, there, and everywhere. What I am saying is this cannot be the cause for the most stress that we experience every 13 days. That we've got to calm down.
But see, that's where you just have to get rid of the service altogether. If it's causing you stress and you're spending money on it, just don't worry about it.
this is good. Now you're basically saying, hey, Danny, get in an argument with your wife later. That's what you're trying to do.
I'm just, that was rhetorical.
No.
It didn't need to be discussed in any more detail.
It is something, again, you'll be surprised to hear I've lost this argument.
Okay.
Yeah, I've lost this one.
Well, I just want you to know that I'm happy for you that it sounds like you get excited for cleaning day on Wednesdays.
Oh, dude. I go, like the night before, Tuesday, I see like certain signs, and before I can put two and together, she'll tell me, cleaning ladies are coming tomorrow. And it's like, if there was a soundtrack, you would hear, dun, dun, dun.
Every Wednesday?
Every other Wednesday.
Okay, so respectfully, you haven't completely made it yet.
No.
The weekly cameo,
that's
when you know. I think every other, you're on your way, though. You haven't completely made it, but you're close.
We're working on it.
You're knocking on the door.
Working on it.
All-star games are dead. And if they're not dead, they need to be put out of their misery. Let's choke them out and end them once and for all, ladies and gentlemen. We can do this together. So I was thinking about this. I think there are three tiers of all-star games at this point with the four major sports. The first tier is the good all-star game that gets played. There's one of them. It's baseball. Major League Baseball's all-star game is still fantastic. If there's a gripe, it's that occasionally players say, nah, I'm good. And so instead of all of the best players in the sport competing, you get a slightly watered-down version of the best possible All-Star game. But baseball is not a sport that you can play at 75%. Or, you know, you're not throwing pitches slower. You're not swinging the bat with less fervor. It's just a normal baseball game with better talent than you would typically watch. So there's really no good way to screw up a Major League Baseball All-Star game as long as it doesn't end in a tie. The old-school way?
Yeah.
Bud Selig, I'm shouting you out there.
Hey, Bud.
But that's the good All-Star game.
Yep.
And that's the one that we don't need to tinker with. We don't need to do anything with. It will always be great. If they wanted to make some changes instead of AL versus NL, you could go U.S. against the world or go international. It might make it better or more fun for a year here or there. But the Major League Baseball All-Star game is great as it is. It's the only one that is.
We agree. There are issues isn't the right word. There are small gripes that I have. And it's now because pitching has become so dominant that these guys that are normally, you know, gearing up to go seven innings are now max efforting for one inning and, you know, you're blowing everybody away. It's three strikeouts, get up, get down. And then that's sort of it. So it turns into sort of a bit more of a slog at times. But that's a relative complaint because the point is, it's just the sport, right? Like it, whatever the sport is in the moment, right? If you go back to the late 90s during the steroid era, it's, you know, 15 to 14 game. It's like a, you know, rock and jock softball type situation. It's a different era that we're in right now, but yeah, so the complaints are relative. That is basically just the sport, which makes it the best All-Star game.
And I still think there are enough runs scored, enough big hits, home runs, whatever. I mean, this past year, 8 runs. Mm-hmm. Year before that, 5 runs, 5 runs, 7 runs, 7 runs, 14 runs in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's become like a 1-0 game.
Right.
Every single year, even though I agree with you on the quality of the pitching. But that's in a league of its own, right? Tom Hanks. Now, you take a gap year, you don't go to school.
Right.
And then in the next category is another sport that I'm going to say is the next most watchable. And this is where we could start to disagree. I think there's basically two arguments left for the final three sports. The first is that all three sports All-Star games are not good and can be done away with.
Mm-hmm.
And the second argument is that the NHL is still watchable in a way that basketball and football is not. And my argument for that is, and that's how I rank it, with the NHL in its own tier, on tier two, because of three-on-three overtime, the way that it's constructed, it's just more open ice and skill, and it's still hockey. Now, is it physical? No. There's no hitting. There's no fighting. It's just kind of wide open skating and skill on display. But I still think it's entertaining. I like three-on-three a ton in season for overtime to end these games. I would change it so that you can't bring the puck back out of the offensive zone, or maybe you can't cross the neutral zone, let's say, because now it's just a time of possession game.
You play keep away, get the other team tired.
Exactly. Yeah. A team will hold the puck for 2.5 minutes without taking a shot, and 6 or 7 times they'll retreat back toward their own cage and use the goalie to hold the puck while they do a line change or something. So if you get that in the All-Star game, that's not that fun. But I still think on a binary, can I sit and watch the NHL All-Star game when they have these tournaments of teams of like 6 or 7 and it's 3-on-3 hockey? That is way better than whatever basketball's doing now, which I can't even figure out. And the NFL flag football nonsense. I would put NHL still as above the threshold of this is not terrible.
Yeah, I don't pay huge attention to it. You know what I mean? Because it's almost like, I don't know, it would take for me a lot more effort on a nightly basis to know the intimate levels of personnel for the San Jose Sharks.
I was going to say, you're also not watching the Ducks and the Sharks.
Totally.
So you shouldn't be expected to be that excited about the All-Star.
Right, but I could sort of pull back from that and say, just in terms of the quality of product, it emphasizes a part of the game that I think should be more emphasized. In other words, like it should be, to me, less clutching, grabbing, neutral zone traps, goalies with pads that cover up 90% of the goal as is, and this skill that is so otherworldly and so incredible. So to me, I agree with you. It is the second best All-Star game.
That brings us to the final two sports, which are football, that's now not a joke. Like, this is not me being funny. Literally a flag football
game. It literally is now.
And the NBA, I can't even explain, and here's why. I'm not going to pretend to say that I watched 1 second of it. I didn't. I heard, while watching the dunk contest, an interview with the guy from Team C who was going to be competing against the All-Stars, and I think he had just done well in the rookie challenge with the G League team. So you've got this rookie sophomore team, you've got a G League team, you've got the actual All-Stars. But the way I understand it is, if you tuned in to the All-Star game, you saw NBA All-Stars playing against either G Leaguers or non-All-Stars,
yeah,
which I can't grasp. Why am I tuning in for that? The whole point of me tuning in for an All-Star game is to see the best players in the world on that stage together.
Yeah, not care, I guess. I mean, it was really bad.
What was it? It's Team C versus Team 13 versus there's a tournament we didn't see. It's like the Oscars before the lights come on and they've already given away four awards. What in the hell was it?
Yeah, so it was Team Chuck, Team Kenny, Team Shaq, and then the fourth team came from that pool of the rising stars.
So am I right to say that was like rookie versus sophomore?
Yeah.
But how does the G League factor in?
I'm not sure. It was too convoluted. So everyone knows that this missed. So it missed for a number of reasons. I give credit for trying to innovate and recognizing, hey, this ain't working, so let's try something else new. I'm all in favor of that. They've done the each quarter's a race to a certain amount of points, or you know, we'll pick teams, we'll do that live, and then Jokic doesn't get picked, and then he dominates the game. Whatever. Like they're trying, and I appreciate that. This was so convoluted and crazy. Here's why it missed more than anything else to me, Jeeps, is they're trying to do. Let's give everybody a little service here. It was basically 3+ hours of programming for 35, 40 minutes of basketball, and I put that in quotation marks. They got Kevin Hart, who's everywhere and ubiquitous and really talented and really funny, basically like making fun of the players during the All-Star game. And it would cut to these guys on the court being like, you'd even catch them going, can you shut up so we can play?
This is, though, a symbolism of whether it's perception or reality is up to someone more of an expert on this than me. But my perception right now of this sport and where it's headed and why I hate it so much compared to what I grew up with and loved, which is it's not actually about basketball anymore. I don't know when it stopped being about basketball, but it did.
It did.
42 minutes of actual basketball in a 3+ hour program around the All-Star stuff. Intros with commercials, 30 minutes. Pre-game talk where you know we go to the desk and they chat it up about what's going to happen, 10 minutes. Game one, Kenny versus Chuck. Again, whatever those two teams were, 12 minutes. There's a Mr. Beast challenge. I don't know. I know that guy's on YouTube and that a kid hit a half-court shot, which is awesome.
Actually ended up being the only cool part. So, but even still, it took way too long.
I don't know. Again, I know I'm in the minority. If you love the NBA, there's probably a big crossover with you knowing who Mr. Beast is.
Sure.
If that guy was sitting on my lap, I wouldn't know who he was or why I should care. 5 minutes of that. Game two, Shaq against Rising Stars. 16 minutes. I actually think that's kind of cool because to me, that would be then your freshman sophomores. Are there G Leaguers involved in that?
I didn't see G Leaguers there. I mean, it was like all guys that you've heard of, young players that won this little pre-tournament that were going up against the All-Stars.
To me, that's pretty cool.
Which was neat.
I think that's a good idea.
So you saw like Zach Edey going up against Kevin Durant. And you go, well, that's a weird matchup. That's fun.
16-minute game, then a musical performance for 6 minutes. I don't need that.
Yep.
I mean, somebody does, but I don't. Inside the NBA tribute for 9 minutes. I love those guys. I'm sorry. No. You know, if we want to do something quickly over the PA where we say,
it was so long.
I saw a video of part of it where Kevin Hart comes out and he's giving away fishing rods. And I mean, 10 minutes, quite literally, we talked about Ernie and Kenny and Shaq as long as the Kenny versus Chuck game went.
That's right.
Like, what are we doing? Then we get a 14-minute game, Chuck versus Shaq, which is 5 minutes longer than the NBA tribute for TNT. Then we get 6 minutes of post-game, 22 minutes at the desk, and then, you know, if you add in the ads on the back end, like that was like overall a total of 80 minutes of programming that spanned, you know, about 3 hours of television, and it was 42 minutes of basketball.
Yeah, it was tough to watch, honestly. I mean, when you actually got into the basketball moments, I couldn't just sit there and watch continuously. I was like, I this is exhausting, waiting for some of this stuff. But I wanted to see a couple of things. I, you know, missed some, caught a couple of things. But it was like, again, we're going to make this a big entertainment production piece that just fell super flat. Because at the end of the day, you're basically saying our basketball is not entertaining enough. We've got to do other things to get people involved. So they're doing the thing that the shoddy shows do a lot of times where all you're doing is looking for the viral clip to get that around, or this is what Cowherd said, or this is what the other Yutz has said. This is what Stephen A. said. And then that's your lifeblood more so than the actual ratings. So they're trying to get you know, have Mr. Beast come. So now everything's going to get played. And it turns out the kid hits a half-court shot, and that was the best moment of the night probably. But it took 7 minutes of him just sort of yelling while the guy was trying to shoot, and Damian Lillard wasn't really sure what he was supposed to do. They finally hit the buzzer because it was taking too long, and that's when the kid made the shot. The whole point is it was just too damned much.
Well, it's over now. They've killed it. It's done, so that's good. We won't have to see it again probably. But there's a new way forward. I am here to tell you. There is a new way forward for All-Star Games thanks to hockey. I want to explain. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. So we were just discussing the fall of the All-Star Game in sport, where really only baseball's is annually worth watching. But there might be a new way forward here, and you might see major shifts for the other sports thanks to what hockey did. Danny, this Four Nations event that the NHL took a break for has been splendid.
It's been a smash. Now, I will say, going into it, I wasn't quite sure what it was. Now, I understand there's four countries playing for the title of Four Nations, but this is one of those, like, how serious are people taking it? Are guys opting out? Like, it's an All-Star game for a different sport. Is it, you know, is it above the Olympics? Is it below? Is it above the World Championships? Is it below? Where are guys ranking it? And I figured out really quickly, the level of buy-in, extremely high. I got some good evidence of that. For example, 1 second is now going off the clock, and we've got a fight. A second has gone off the clock, and we have two more fights. They're taking it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, respectfully to you, like, and I know that's how you, like, do things, right? Is you want to know, like, where does this rank, and what is this? And, I mean, is it the Olympics? Of course not. But, like, I don't know. I never really cared about that. Here's what happens. When hockey players put their country on their sweater, they care a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case in most sports, honestly. I've talked to baseball players for years and years and years on my prospect show over on MLB Network Radio. And the guys that got to play in the, you know, early tournaments when they played for America or another country, coming up for U17, U18, whatever it is, championships, junior championships, like, it matters. And so I just thought, well, this will be kind of fun. It's four nations. Russia was not allowed to participate because of what's going on globally here with them in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So they were basically banned from the event. So then you go, okay, well, who are the four nations? Then they get invited. Obviously, USA, Canada, Sweden makes a lot of sense with the talent in the NHL from Sweden. And then Finland was the fourth country in. They're competing against each other for this crown in what is a week off for the All-Star break. Now, the real bummer from a Caps fan standpoint was none of their guys made it. John Carlson should have been on Team USA, in my opinion, as a defenseman. Tom Wilson should have been on Team Canada, providing some physicality and some snarl. He wasn't. Obviously, Ovi would have played on the team as a very least, representing Russia for the Capitals.
They could probably use Logan Thompson in that, those Canadians.
Yes, Logan Thompson got snubbed, to be clear. So, like, there could have been heavy influence from the Capitals. Mm-hmm. They got completely screwed. But it's the best thing that could possibly happen.
Yeah, they could also get some rest.
Because they're just sitting on beaches and chilling and having some quality time with the wife and with the kids. But this tournament has been nothing short of spectacular. And that's what I would point out is, if someone were to say, and I would have said this to you last week, is it the Olympics? Is it this? Is it that? It's the All-Star game. Or it's this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how it goes. And you got, to your point, USA versus Canada, as electric an atmosphere in sports as I've seen in a long, long time.
It was incredible.
At any level.
It was incredible.
You know, championship or otherwise. You mentioned it. Puck drops. Matthew Tkachuk gets into a fight. He's in the penalty box. Coolest brother moment ever. His brother Brady gets into a fight 1 second later. And then at the 9 second mark, 7 seconds after that, the gloves are dropped again and JT Miller's getting into it. So three fights in 9 seconds between the U.S. and Canada, who meet, by the way, on Thursday night in primetime for the title of this Four Nations tourney. It's going to be unbelievable.
This thing has been a smashing success. Now, I don't know that you can replicate that to get 100 out of 100 reprint for a different sport, but I will tell you, I would be taking notations if I was another league.
So here's
another
my question.
League. Yeah.
Why wouldn't basketball do something like this? I don't know if Four Nations works, if there's enough like global talent in the NBA to do it that way. But so maybe it's USA against the world for the first year, next year or something like that.
Because they've done stuff like that before.
They
US
have.
Versus international.
But
right?
Like, why not try to prey on whatever this is, like this patriotism or this global feel of these games? What's more global right now than basketball?
Mm-hmm. I had a hard time kind of trying to nail it down because they've done that U.S. versus international thing, but I don't know how to do that specifically, to replicate this, because I don't know that you can, because the passion for it is different. But I will tell you this. If I'm Adam Silver and company, and if I'm the NFL to a degree, I've got my idea for them in a second, but I would be going, I need to figure this out. I need to do something like this. This has been such a smash that's crossed over from hardcore hockey fans only to the casuals are tuning in way more than they would for my normal All-Star game, which format fluid is changing every other hour. This thing has been awesome. I don't know exactly how to replicate it. I'm not smart enough, but I would be trying.
I mean, what would the Four Nations be for the hoops? Obviously, USA.
Canada, too.
I mean, Canada would be one of them. I mean, how do you incorporate France?
I would go.
Okay.
Then, it depends. Your fourth could be a rotating. Maybe it's Spain, maybe Serbia,
I just think basketball should try something.
Yes, they do. They need to, yeah.
And look, to your point, you cannot replicate this. Like, you're not going to do the tip-off, and then two dudes are going to drop their elbow pads and their leg sleeves and start throwing fists. I mean, right. It's a different sport. I get it. The hockey thing was, like, made for television. There was this almost WWE feel to it. It was about entertainment right off the top. And then the game was spectacular. But there's just got to be something. I think hockey, which is more willing to try things because they're fourth, they can. There's a little more desperation. There's a little more necessity. Occasionally, they stumble onto really cool things. And in the same way the NFL shouldn't scoff at stuff that's happening in the United Football League as beneath them. And look at that stupid kickoff where those two lines are 5 yards apart. No. You, if it works, steal it. If it's something that could play for you, basketball should be doing this. I think anybody who has a stupid All-Star game right now should consider this. Now, football, there's nothing you can really do in this way from an international standpoint.
No. What I would do
But the
is,
juxtaposition, I'll just say this real quick, sorry, Danny.
It's okay.
Of watching this thing for hockey, it was going on at the same time as the stupid NBA stuff. The same time this weekend. And you're going, oh, come on. I'm flipping back from this game and America and Canada getting into fistfights on the ice, and one of the Ball brothers is like walking around the court doing his rap. Like, come on.
Yeah, which
really?
One of these, right?
I mean,
how do I choose?
Come on. Like, you got to be kidding me.
For football, I don't know exactly how you do it, but I've heard enough guys talk enough times about their colleges and how much they really they have the, those that allegiance and how much more they care. I'm going to figure out how I incorporate it, but it's Big Ten, it's SEC, and then maybe somebody else, and we're doing a tournament.
I actually think that's kind of cool.
We're doing that.
What is it? It's flag?
I don't know what we're doing. Okay. Because I don't think you can get guys to tackle anymore. With the length of the seasons, with the way the rules have gone, the fact that you don't have guys cheap-shotting each other, clotheslining each other in regular season games anymore, it's now probably going to be flag, but I would do that sort of thing.
I actually think, and I know that people hate when I say this, I think you can completely do away with the Pro Bowl. Just period. Like, we might not have to find an answer for the NFL, because my point is, you probably don't have to do it. It's too physical a game, and there's too much of a risk of injury, and there's too much money involved. So I'm sorry, we don't get to play this meaningless game. You'll be named a Pro Bowler, and that's the honor, but there's no actual game. Maybe it's just moving forward, it's basketball, hockey, baseball, and those are the all-star games.
Yeah, I mean, they insist on doing something, because as of a couple years ago, I remember the ratings were infinitely better than you think, when they still actually played football. It was the least watchable sporting event maybe of my lifetime. I found it to be awful. I'm not even kidding. Not even being hyperbolic. It was really, really bad, and it still was getting better numbers than like the World Series.
I want to ask young people this, so maybe we could tap into
we got young people right here,
Clary and Toby and our crew. I mean, what do people want to see? Like, I saw that everyone was referencing they want some type of one-on-one tournament or one-on-one basketball for the All-Star festivities. I think that'd be cool to watch. I would click on YouTube clips of that. To me, that's not an all-star game. I'm not interested in watching 1v1. But again, I am slowly not becoming the demo anymore. Not because of my age necessarily, but it seems like nothing basketball does is to appeal to me at this juncture of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just some old fart who they don't care about, I guess, somehow at 35 years old.
Oh, yeah. Game is
they're
past you.
Not interested in me.
I mean, as far as what I want to see, I just want to see effort. Like, I don't know where that comes from. I think the face of the nations or the four nations going against each other, like, that is awesome. Like, I'm not all that into hockey outside the Capitals. I was watching every single second of that. So if they can find something like that where people actually care, then I'm all in for it. I just don't know what that is for the NBA.
I also feel like if you put USA, not for anything, like, I'll be honest, I'm not stopping and watching track and field this weekend on NBC, you know, because Noah Lyles is running or whatever. But on a sport that I care a little bit about, if it's above the threshold of like major sports, like even soccer, if you put USA on it this weekend, I am watching it. I'll watch the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah.
There is just something to that as well that the NBA could try to tap into.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And the thing that you bring it up is if you're an American, there's nothing that gets you going a little bit more than saying, hey, I think we're better than you at this. And so the internationals saying, hey, I think we've passed you guys with Jokic, with Giannis, with Luka. Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, all these guys would like to have a word, right? And obviously the old guard as well. So maybe doing a little bit of that instead of just doing regular All-Stars East-West, you do international versus USA. Obviously individual countries is a little bit hard, but if you combine all the internationals versus the USA, maybe you could get a little more competition.
See, they did that how many years? When's the last time we did USA against the world?
Oh, I can't remember. A handful of years ago. They did it.
Bring that back at once. I think that would be, because that is an ongoing discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The globalization of the game. Like, I think that would be amazing. And coming off of the heels of the Olympics, we just watched how awesome that was. Steph telling everyone go to bed and hitting the big shot. USA against the world would have pummeled whatever that crap was the other night.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, but Ryan actually stumbled onto the point here that's central to me. We talked about this with the dunk contest forever, and Mac McClung is wildly entertaining. It's actually pretty cool. The guy's won it three straight times. He's made more from the dunk contest than he has from NBA earnings.
I thought his dunk over the car was an all-timer.
Yeah, I mean, tapping the front rim, dropping it, and then going up and over again for a dunk is ridiculous. Human beings shouldn't be able to do that. So, good, great, grand. But you sort of roll your eyes at, I don't know who the other participants are as someone that follows the league. You know what I mean? And so we were always going, how do you get the stars? How do you make it like Dominique and MJ? And everyone's talking about dangling money and figuring it out. But the key central theme takeaway there isn't how you do that. It's how do we get the give a damn? How do we do it? This is not currently an NBA that's about give a damn for the name on the front. It's just not. I mean, it's individual stars who have been marketed to such a way to catapult the sport into the national consciousness and internationally. And it's made everybody so much money. But this is not a team time right now. This is my individual brand expression and being able to market myself to go to the next team. How do you get people to buy in and give a crap? I don't know the answer to that.
To that point, LeBron James, like 2 hours before the game, decided he wasn't going to play. Which is not a crime. I mean, people have not played in All-Star games forever and ever. But you normally say you're not going to participate, and then we replace you on the roster, and someone else gets to become an All-Star. He waited until the last minute. He took a picture with the entire team in uniform, with him not in uniform. He did not get dressed for the photo. He's just like in his LeBron gear, walking around dapping everybody up, and it was a big LeBron show, which is how LeBron likes it. But, like, no. If you're not going to play in the game, let us know that so we can replace you in the game. But no, it had to be about LeBron. You see what I'm saying? It was this big, I'll walk around, I'll take the picture, I'll be in my street clothes, but I'm certainly not going to be in a jersey. That is the whole vibe of the whole event. And by the way, to his credit, he had played in, I think, 20 in a row of these.
Yeah.
Like, he has been an unbelievable ambassador.
There's been some mileage put on those tires. Yeah.
And then there's enough deposits in the bank. My point is not that he should be playing in the All-Star game or some hot, Skip Bayless take. My point is, if you're not going to play in the game, let's let somebody know in advance enough that maybe they could have someone replace you on the roster and not just kind of show up and go take the photo in your sweatshirt. You know, maybe you could throw on the uniform with your teammates as an All-Star and go take the picture. But they got work to do. And I know it's quote-unquote just hockey, and I'm sure the numbers will reflect that in some way. But I'm just telling you, give Thursday night a shot.
It's been the best new sport. And I don't know if innovation is the right word. Whatever I'm trying to say, whatever that is.
Innovation,
idea. The new dish served to us as sports fans, this has been the best thing in a long time.
And with the current tension, too, between America and Canada, which we don't have to get into on this show, but they're booing the national anthem, and then the Americans come out, score the quick goal, and beat them in their sport. Oh, God, it's been fun. Thursday night championship, this time in the States, by the way, in Boston, for America. Taking on
Canada. I'll be interested to see how that goes.
Should be a good time. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan Top of the Hour. The Commanders might be traveling internationally this football season. We were just talking about All-Star games and how you get players to buy in and care. Here's something else that I noticed this weekend. This is out of baseball, but I want to bounce this off of you. As someone who played at a high level in terms of baseball at the George Washington University, I think this is something any fan could have an opinion on as well, though. Do you have any issue with players who put themselves and their careers maybe on a pedestal over a team ask? And here's what I mean by that. Marcus Stroman was late to show up to Yankees camp, who's been a longtime successful major league starting pitcher, because he was at odds with the team, as we now know, over his role, where it looks like there's not a spot in the rotation for him at this moment after he pitched to a 4.3 ERA, won 10 games, made 30 starts last year. He's been ultra durable as a starter. This is a guy way back when in 2012 was the 22nd overall pick in the draft. So he reported to camp, where it looks like he might be the odd man out in their rotation and have to move to the bullpen, and he said, I'm not going to pitch in the bullpen. And he met with the media, and they're asking him questions about being a reliever, and he just kept reiterating, I'm a starter, I'm not a reliever, I won't pitch in the bullpen. This is like my kid telling me, I'm not going to bed. Not like a, hey, Dad, I don't really want to go to bed. Like a, now I've got to do something because you're challenging me by saying what you are willing and not willing to do. I'll give you another example, Danny. The Red Sox just made this great move. Mm-hmm. They signed Alex Bregman, a multi-time champion with the World Series winning Astros, who's off to a Hall of Fame start to his career, to a 3-year contract at $40 million per year, which is a massive contract. They gave him $120 million bucks over the next 3 years. Bregman is a Gold Glove winning third baseman. This is the team, Danny, that committed the most errors in the infield in the sport last year, and their third baseman, Rafael Devers, who's the face of their team, who's the best hitter on the team, was one of the biggest star bats in Major League Baseball, commits more errors at third base than anybody every single year. So they bring in Bregman, and the thought is either that they're going to have him play second because Devers will stay at third, or ideally, they've got the best second base prospect in the sport who's ready to debut right now. They'll play him at second. They'll move Bregman to third. They'll make the worst infield defense in the sport a lot better. And they'll have Devers, who's this amazing hitter, DH or play first. Except that Rafael Devers has kind of been quiet over the last few days. They won't say what position Bregman's playing. It's dragged on. It's been really weird. And everyone's going, behind the scenes, he must be bristling a little bit. And he finally spoke to the media yesterday. And what did he say? I'm a third baseman. I'm not moving. I play third. I'm the third baseman here. Bregman can play where he wants, but it won't be third base. I'm paraphrasing. But what he actually said over and over was, right. I'm the third baseman. I'm not moving positions. So you've got Stroman with the Yankees. You've got Devers with the Red Sox both saying this. It's very odd that you see players come out this publicly and basically tell their team to kiss their butt. But this is the era that we are going toward.
You just that was my first sentence. This is the era. It is the opposite of what I was conditioned with, what I grew up with, played with, got as far as I did with. I do not empathize with it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But well, I do understand. It is a clear as day line in what pro sports is. We were under the illusion for so long that these guys are private contractors. These guys are individuals who have to market themselves and brand themselves and earn as much as they can in a limited window and do whatever they want and treat it however they want. While they're with a team, it's about the team, right? Right? Clearly that it's not. I'm not a major leaguer, never said I was, but freshman year, I had a really good freshman season and was the starting third baseman. We got a recruit, a guy named Matt Krimmel, who was a draft pick of the Reds.
Ben Krimmel, who wrote stories on thefandc.com?
No, I'm talking about a talented baseball player who could have also played tight end at a major university and was a state champion in basketball, too. The guy was incredible. Shout out to Matt Krimmel.
You sleep on my Ben Krimmel pool.
I think I treated it appropriately. Okay. I think I got it and swam, moved right past it.
Yeah.
So Krimmel's primary position, third base. What's best for the team, coach? You're going to play everywhere. You're going to play some left field, play some first, play some third. You do whatever's needed. No problem. I'm here to win. I want to win games. That's the point. We're better with him than if he goes to play tight end at Cincinnati. We're better with him than if he goes to George Mason down the road. He's a stud. He's a Hall of Famer. So I move around. That's what you do. To say, what if I'd said no? Now, granted, it's a different situation. I have far less power as a college student at that point. No NIL, nothing else. And I probably would have lost my scholarship or whatever. But the idea to say, no, I'm not switching, bullcrap, yes, you are. Wherever the skip puts you in the lineup is where you go. You know, I'm the third hitter. Not if you hit your second, jackass. I lead off. Not if you hit your fourth. Not if you hit your ninth. You don't get to write the lineup card. The job description doesn't include that. When it does, you're a player manager. You're something else. You do what they tell you to do. And I know that's not the way guys are now. I know that's not the way pro athletes are now. And there are some wake-up calls. I understand that. But it is something that I cannot stand. So I'll root against. But, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to throw a tantrum if you want to.
But a lot of people like this. They feel like the players, we see it with college athletes especially, which I think is a little bit different because those guys haven't been paid tens of millions of dollars for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Like, my dad is super old school. So when there's a work stoppage in baseball, I talked to Scott Boras on air for 30 minutes on Sunday afternoon, and one of the things that came up was the potential of a work stoppage in baseball a year from now, which looks like it's going to happen. And I think the old school people like my dad are going to take the side of the teams or whatever and go, these dudes are making millions of dollars to play a kid's game. It's not that simple. Like, that's a silly way to look at it. It's also not as simple on the other side of just acting like the players are the victims and, that they're just being forced and made to do these things when they're making really good money to do them. The truth, as is generally the case, is somewhere in the middle. But Danny, man, it's just getting less and less like what you and I grew up with, where, wherever you want me, Skip, like, that is just not a thing in sports that much anymore. Because you're your own brand, because you're making a ton of money, you're as popular in a lot of cases as the team, your jersey's being worn more so than, like, a Commander's hat is being worn.
Right.
And so Devers, by the way, has never won an MVP award. He's never really been that close. I think the highest 13th in the MVP vote. Really good player.
He's a stud.
330 homer seasons. Like, he's awesome. He's a three-time All-Star.
It's the double-edged sword that pro sports signed up for, right? In order to try to catch football or to try to, you know, market to people, what do? You don't market the brand of an individual team. I mean, they try to do that locally, of course, but nationally, you're trying to get people to care about Rafael Devers. You do that enough times, you go to that well, you empower players to a degree that I think is off-putting to a lot of us.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Are the Commanders going to play a game outside of the United States this coming season? The chances of that got better today. We'll explain next on the Fan.